We're back to the Neil Haley show. And, you know, when we talk about specifically enough exciting shows, and I never thought that we'd be talking reality show, HBO Max with somebody. And it's kind of interesting because of the fact is it's reality show, and usually reality shows are not meant for actors, but I'm excited to welcome the program actor Brooke Lux. Brooke, thanks for stopping by. How are you? And we're going to talk about the 12 Dates of Christmas, talk about some of the other projects you're having, your career. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here and dive into the 12 Dates gossip.
Yes. Well, you know, it's time. We got to always have that reality and look at the reality of what we're dealing with COVID. I can't believe we're saying this again in 2021 about to end, and we're in another craziness. And that's, you know, it is what it is. I guess we're living in times that we can tell people someday these were seriously the times we were living in, and we'll be an interplanetary species by that point in time, and we'll be all that, and people will be in Mars and everything when we're telling our grandkids that stuff. Okay, so let's kind of just jump right specifically into, do you always want to be an actor? Is that something you grew up wanting to do?
No, I mean, I kind of figured that out in like my late teens. I was a very athletic, very tomboy kind of girl growing up, and played soccer for most of my childhood. And that was my life. And I kind of fell into the entertainment world, and I fell into entertainment journalism first. So I would actually do a lot of press junkets and red carpet interviews and go to these screenings. And I remember sitting there at the screenings watching these movies. And then when I would talk to these celebrities about their movies after I would watch it, something just didn't really sit right with me. And being so young, I wasn't sure what until I was about 19. And I was like, I want to be a filmmaker. I don't want to be interviewing these filmmakers. I want to be the filmmaker. So at 19, I kind of had a revelation, dropped out of the community college I was going to study journalism, and just moved to LA and started from scratch and started pursuing film.
Well, you really have an entrepreneurial mindset. You talk about, you know, filmmaker, and I want to get into that more. But when you talk about specifically enough, you were interviewing celebrities and doing certain things. What were you doing? Did you have your own press, or were you working for other people at that age?
I was other people. I won a competition at the age of 12 to go interview the stars of Shrek the Third. So at 12 years old, I was interviewing legends, Mike Myers, Julie Andrews, Cameron Diaz, Diego Banderas. Like, I'm pretty sure I have tunnel vision from it all. And the only memories I have are like on footage. Right. Cause it was so overwhelming, but so cool. And that's what I was doing. I was kind of shadowing the entertainment journalist that took me under his wing after I won this competition. And he would send me out as his junior teen or junior kid reporter. So I would go do all these kid movie press junkets and met tons of celebrities, tons of directors, tons of producers, and just got to talk to them. And that's what kind of fed that entertainment film bug. And yeah, I mean, just enlightened me to this whole world.
And you learned exactly that you liked being on camera, or you liked being a journalist. You liked, meaning liked being a celebrity in some sorts, because anyone who interviews celebrities becomes the celebrity themselves in a way. Right. They're celebrating, you know, and so you saw this and said, why can't I do this? I want to be, and you brought up filmmaker. So, you know, we're talking about two things that you're acting in, and one is a reality show and one's acting. And so we're going to talk about your latest projects, but you're saying filmmaker. This is intrigues me, because you have to be a jack of all trades in Hollywood today, unless you're one of the top seven earners. The bottom line is you have to keep finding work. And sometimes it's creating your own work. So when you talk about filmmaker, did you go to school for filmmaking after that fact, or did you kind of just go on your own and figure it out once you moved to Hollywood?
A little bit of half and half. I got a scholarship for a film academy, but I ended up not going. And I went to kind of just like private classes. And that was my kind of foundation. Also, the reason I didn't go to this academy was because they said I could not be on set while attending this school. And I was already booking jobs as a script supervisor and as an actor. So I was already learning hands-on on set. And in my head, I was like, it's better to just get that real experience than pay a tuition and have someone teach me their ways. And I'm really glad I did that. And like I said, I went to You know, I would do online trainings, I would read books, I would go to private classes. So I kind of just did it my own way, and it's worked out for me. And I had mentors that would take me under their wing, which I think is also a very popular route. A lot of people I know have gone under and found like a mentor.
How difficult is it to create a film? One of the companies I'm soon going to become CMO, I am CMO of, is Haley's Comet. And so we're going into the space industry, so it's really exciting. We're really seeing space as the final thing. Even though I'm an entrepreneur that has my own business as well, I'm going to be the chief marketing officer for the company and announcing that soon. So I guess I'm kind of announcing it now. But in this process, what I've learned is that, you know, when we're talking to creatives and things like that, creating just a commercial, which you were talking about, you've been involved in, it's very expensive. You know, you people try to do it themselves. You see it all the time on YouTube, and you see it all the time as podcasters. But when you're talking high level filmmaking, it's expensive, right? How much would it cost just to do a short film? And not, we're not talking the main film. What are the costs involved in something like that?
I just shot a short film, and I think it was 12 pages, and we shot it in 3 days. And I want to say the budget was 5 figures. I don't know the exact number, but it was actually a really great team. We had a skeleton crew. A skeleton crew is just like every department just has the minimum amount of people. And yeah, I mean, I when I was naive and so green in this industry, I had no idea what it took. And I started out as an actress, kind of fell into script supervising. And I'm so grateful I did, because that put the production world in a whole different light. I mean, when people say it takes a village to make a movie, and then you see that cast credits at the end of a movie, I feel like, at least speaking for myself, I would take that for granted. And now I just look and I'm like, I know all these people, or I know most of these people. But yeah, I mean, it's so expensive. The camera lenses itself are probably individually more expensive than my car. The lenses, I mean, if you're shooting
it's BS when you're a YouTuber or certain things. And you're giving me tips right now, because again, I'm getting thrown this. I've been in this industry forever. And, you know, I'll do the Canva deal, I'll do iMovie and all that and shoot with an iPhone.
Yeah.
But what the kind of company I'm going into now, we're looking cinematic, we're looking at all these different things. Can you really shoot with an iPhone and be able to have good quality film? Let's just talk for a commercial or specific things as a YouTuber or vlogger or anything. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a feature film, Unsane, with Claire Voigt, was shot on an iPhone.
Really? So
yeah, it's definitely doable. The technology with phones, especially iPhones, and the lenses on like the 11 Pro with the three lenses on the phone, it's definitely doable. And then you have devices like a gimbal for like a Steadicam. Definitely, definitely doable. I mean, yeah, I feel like commercials are being shot on phones all the time.
And then when you're looking at cinematic and the top-notch stuff, you know, the stuff that, you know, involves all these different things, the Super Bowl commercials, different things, where do they go? They're probably like $100,000 to shoot, right? Or more.
But more,
Or more.
Budgets. The commercials I've worked on, like Ulta Beauty or Banana Republic shoots, those budgets are insane. Commercial budgets are way, way higher than the, right now I'm working on like indie films as production and script supervisor, six figures, which is still a lot, but like commercial money is insane.
And it's all about the creative and the story and things. And this is, I think that what I kind of compare what indie films is what podcasting has become, and compared to regular. So you go to indie films compared to the big boys in film, right? And then you look at radio and the big, big top dogs, and then podcasting the gap is starting to not be so wide, meaning that there's money to be made in indie films. There's money to be made in podcasting, but only a few. Joe Rogan, the name in podcasting. And I'm sure there's some indie film people that have really made some huge money off one big shot, and then it didn't become an indie film after that fact. So it's that thing. So I'm interested in your filmmaking because it interests me, because is that going to be your passion, even though you're going to act, because we all have to do our passion and we're going to have to shoot commercials, different things. If you chose, would it be filmmaking?
Yeah, filmmaking, absolutely. And I'm, like I said, I'm so glad I fell into the production side of things, because being a celebrity and like the fame truly isn't that appealing to me.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Isn't that weird? Why is it certain makeups are different for people, right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want to be even bigger. Yeah, I'm not a celebrity at all, in my opinion, but I mean, I'm getting to that influence side. I'm only a few steps away. And I was a former professional wrestler, so I was only a few steps away before The Rock wore my knee pads when I was a professional wrestler, before he was, yeah. he made it. So yeah. I just show my age. I'm 48. But what I'm saying is that basically that some people, it fuels them. They want to be the paparazzi. They want this. It seems like you want to be behind the camera, and that's interesting, and be the creative. And that's fun too. I enjoy it as well in that. And then just, you know, being on camera, I'd like to just produce podcasts and create ideas. As one of my top skills is idea, because ideation. And I took a test, is really cool. It's called a talent test with Gallup, and I got my five talents. My number one is ideation, which I thought it was going to be communication. That's number five, but ideation is coming with an idea very quickly and be able to strategize it from big to small. And then strategy is my second, strategic is my second skill. So when I think about things, I enjoy the behind the camera as well. I enjoy the effects of creating something for somebody else. Why is it more? So let's just say you get an opportunity. Look, you have a great film we're going to talk about soon. What if you do get an opportunity that you become Emmy nominated or Academy? Is that going to push you that towards that level? Or are you going to constantly strive for this filmmaking? That's the, so let's just say something happens. You know, and I know they, everyone gets this one big shot to get on this one big show they never thought was going to happen, and it goes viral and it becomes the biggest thing. Would you still have that mindset to be the filmmaker before that? Good question. Cause you never know what could happen, Brooke.
That is a great question. I mean, I feel like acting is also a part of filmmaking, and I mean, yeah, I would jump at the opportunity. Diving into like a big character is a dream of mine. Acting is a dream of mine. You know, something like Squid Games or Queen's Gambit, where it's an amazing story. It's an amazing opportunity to become this character and do these amazing characterizations. I would love to do that. I guess what I was trying to say was like, I'm not in it for like the fame or the celebrity.
You're in it because you love doing it. You love performing. You love the camera. You love the ability to be part of the creative and understand this industry. That's what I see for you.
Yes. And I can literally talk to you about this all day long. I would feel incomplete if I was not in this industry, and just movies all around make me so happy.
Exactly. And that's great. You're finding your passion. Like, I love to perform. I love to perform in podcasting, speaking, going on social audio for Clubhouse, especially, and all these different places. This is what really makes me excited. It doesn't make me excited when I'm building a website. It doesn't make me excited when I'm doing social media for clients. That's just that, hey, that's the way to pay the bills, but that's all that to build that entrepreneurship and managing people. I'd much rather perform all the time. I wish I was Joe Rogan, right? 100, right. Whatever he's getting paid just to do this all day long. Cause you could see it's a natural thing for me. Yeah. That's interesting. I'm delving in more that it's just the industry. You're not doing it for the fame. I don't know if you saw Britney Spears, conservator, the whole documentary. It's so sad what happened to her and everything. And she loves performing, and you see her love, and she basically was used in so many ways. So she didn't want the paparazzi. She didn't want all that stuff, but she wanted to do it because she loved the industry. Some people are living for fame. Other people are living for, hey, I want to be someday to pick up this Academy Award because I truly did something creative. I was part of an amazing story. I was part of this, and that's why I'm in the industry. And I think that's what you're trying to say, Brooke. Am I right?
Exactly. I mean, if I eventually get a big platform, I will use that to my best ability. I think the one thing that this generation has in the filmmaking industry is they need these actors to have a big following now. And that's kind of put like a bitter taste in my mouth, because I'm like, I don't want people to choose actors based on their
social media profile. Isn't that crazy? And so that's, yeah, go ahead. Because it's so fake. It can be fixed so much. And there's services. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
I mean, I would rather someone be picked on their talent and 500 followers based on, you know, but I mean, I understand that that's free press and having a big following is good for filmmaking. It's just, that's the day and age we're in. So it's kind of almost like we're forced into that platform of fame and celebrity and like pushing ourselves and posting every day and hitting that algorithm. But that's not what it's about for me.
That's really happening because we start to see, and then you see the fakeness. If you get a big show, they give you verified and you get all these fake followers on Twitter, right? You know that. And I know that didn't just come out of nowhere. They came from somewhere else. An agency went and gave them all those followers. They weren't really truly a tribe. And I think, Brooke, that this is, if you're an actor and you're looking to try to get more gigs based on your following, build a tribe based on who truly you are and build a community. Don't go build a bunch of fake things that they offer all the time for IG and all that stuff, because I bet you they can tell, right? They want you to have a fan following that they're interested in you. This is so interesting. I didn't think we'd go this direction. Then we're going to get right into 12 Dates of Christmas. Because this is my passion, understanding these things. So when they evaluate your algorithm and all these different things, are they able to tell real from fake a lot of these directors or not, or these casting people? Because you know, and I know that a lot of this Instagram's fake. A lot of this is not really developed. You really don't have a fan base. You have a fake base that, you might have either paid for, you might have gotten kind of fake followers or fake engagement that really would not buy your stuff. How's Hollywood or even, you know, any of the communities, because they're clueless in marketing, to really understand what's happening? Have you seen that at all or had those conversations?
A little bit. I think the telltale sign is if you have a high following and your likes and your comments and engagement doesn't really match, it's pretty blatant. Like anyone can see how many likes you're getting and comments you're getting. And if you have like 20,000 followers and you're getting kind of like 400, 500 likes, it might not add up. So I think that's the telltale sign. But other than that, I'm not sure how to evaluate. Like,
isn't that terrible? Because guess what? There are services you can buy to get all these likes and comments and stuff like that. And they're all bogus. And then guess what? You're paying for it. And you're really, they're not real people. And you have to dive deeper. And if people don't understand that, it's like, you know, I'd rather have a engaged audience. And when I build for clients, of 40 or 50 likes for a post that they're really their tribe that they're building versus, and not the tribe, not people that you're really interacting to that want to know who you are, want to see your next films. And that's where, I guess, the age that we're in, we can't figure out yet. Right.
Right.
And but it's good. And you bring all those things up. And I'm sure if you were looking to fund a film, they'd say, well, of the people you have, what are their followers? Right. Isn't that crazy? And that's where we've gone. It's nuts for sure. Okay. So let's talk 12 Dates of Christmas. Wow. Okay. You put yourself out there, Brooke.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yes.
I mean, come on. So tell us the premise of it, and it's real. It's reality. Hint, hint, we all know, you know, the Bachelor, Bachelorette, a little, not completely reality, but you put yourself out there, really.
I did. Yeah. Unscripted show, 12 Dates of Christmas, has three leads. There's a straight male lead who I was in his pod. That was Danny. There was a lesbian lead, Amanda. And then there was a gay lead who was Markel. There was a twist in the gay pod, which I don't know if I want to say because it's not Christmas yet. I don't want to plot spoil. It's a really good like twist midway through the season. It actually happens before I even come on the show. So I didn't know about it until I was on the show and the cast was like telling me about it. So I was there for Danny and I came in on episode 5 and you get to see my journey. I don't know if you want me to plot spoil.
Don't plot spoil at all. Just what about, so basically you coming on. So this is real, right? You're going on a date, right? This is not fake.
Yeah, no, not fake at all. I went there for a connection. My talent manager was actually approached about this show and we talked about it because I am an actress and I had just got a really messy breakup and I was like, you know what, Tal, like, I think I just want to do it for myself and I do want to go and see if it works out. And speaking of the COVID day and age, we all had to quarantine 4 weeks before filming. And I'm really glad I had that quarantine time because I overthought everything, every outcome. Am I going to meet my husband? Am I going to meet my boyfriend? Like, what's going to happen? And by the end of quarantine, I went into the lodge with no expectations. And I think that was the best thing I ever could have done for myself because I truly went in having fun and authentic me. And I did build a connection with someone.
So, yeah. And so we have to find out. We don't want to spoil it. See, there you go. I'm going to be doing my own producing and directing. We've had this. No, don't get promotion. Everyone needs to tune in. And then yeah. I want to talk about the film because again, that's where we find you. And this is your biggest about the film. Let's first of all, really quickly, where can people check out when your episode's coming out for 12 Dates of Christmas? When is that coming out?
So all of the episodes dropped on Thanksgiving Day. All of the episodes are out on HBO Max. There are 9 episodes and definitely binge watch the whole season. I don't come in until halfway through. I am on season 2. I've had a lot of like friends from high school in the past be like, I watched all of season 1. Where are you? And I was like, I'm on season 2. So there are 2 seasons. I'm on season 2.
All right. We'll definitely have to check it out. Now let's talk about the film. When is that coming out? And I don't want to mispronunciate the second part of it. Is it American Sicario? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So then that's pretty cool. That's a huge op. Is that like one of your biggest breaks so far in acting, this opportunity?
Yes. Yeah. I actually filmed this before 12 Dates of Christmas. I was in the casting process for 12 Dates of Christmas when I was filming this. And it's starring Danny Trejo, Felipe Haddad. I don't want to butcher his last name. Felipe Haddad. He's the star of the film. And Maurice Comte, who is my cartel boyfriend in the film. It's very different from 12 Dates. It's drugs, cartels, guns, killings, you know, and then 12 Dates is just this magical fairy tale Christmas wonderland. So I'm giving you both sides of me.
No, exactly. So how did you prepare for that? So like other acting opportunities, this your current character. So tell us about your character, first of all. And it's a little bit more about the character without giving things away. And then explain, have you had any roles like this ever before in acting?
I have not had another role like this in acting before. I've actually been murdered a lot in roles. I love horror, so this is great for me. I've been covered in blood tons of times and it's so fulfilling for me. But it was a small supporting role and I was just one of the cartel leaders' girlfriends, just kind of arm candy. You know, I got to speak Spanish in the film and you know, it's insinuated that I do drugs. I did do a scene. I filmed a scene on a yacht where I did blow. I snorted some blow and it's not real cocaine. It was B12 powder and it actually hurt. So in case don't do that. But that's what they usually use in movies for fake cocaine. It's B12. That was actually cut out of the movie. So I'm sure my mom and dad are pretty happy about that. But yeah, I mean, I was just the typical cartel party girl with the rich cartel boyfriend.
Okay. So, and when does that film come out?
That came out on December 10th.
And is that available everywhere now or the film?
On Amazon Prime and select theaters across the nation.
Okay, so it's available on Amazon Prime as a purchase film, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay, because I have Amazon Prime, but I definitely want to see the film. It definitely seems like it. I'll have to add that to my viewing list of movies I've been watching. And what horror movies have you been in that you've been killed in that people might know of?
I was in Dire Lane, which we shot a sizzle reel, 7 years ago. That sizzle reel was to get a budget. It never got a budget, so that feature film was never... created, but I got an axe in my head on that one. Just casually saying these things. I was in Fear Farm 2 where I got impaled I fell in this ditch and I got impaled by rhubarb through the mouth. And that was cool because the prosthetic was like 5 stacks of cinnamon sticks it was a candy and they put it in my mouth and then they just poured edible blood in my mouth. I was just sitting there with metal under my chin and just like bleeding out. It was really cool. And it was freezing that night, but it was so fun.
So, and your you're enjoying the time. It's great that you had that opportunity. And really, they did a great job of putting you in the IMDb write-up and stuff. So people need to definitely check out American Sicario, now available on Amazon Prime and everywhere. And you, the best place people can follow you, because guess what? That's the big thing, right? The follow. what social media platform are you putting most of your time into? Because you know what? I'm starting to more and more be this LinkedIn person, which is crazy. I have a decent following on Instagram. I have a decent a huge following on Twitter. I'm all over the place at Facebook. I'm trying to be omnipresent as best I can. So what about you? Where's the best place?
Best place is Instagram and TikTok. Instagram is just my first and last name, Brooke Lusk, and TikTok is same thing, Brooke Lusk, but the number 5 afterwards. On TikTok, I actually have a way bigger following, and I talk about horror movies because it's my favorite thing in the whole wide world. And on 12 Dates, they kind of made a little tribute to my horror side without even knowing that I have a horror side, but I entered 12 Dates of Christmas carrying a chainsaw. And it's so epic.
It sounds like it. And that's the thing. And so your recommendations to people for TikTok, because we all know, you know, like Gary V's really present on there. So everyone thinks it's for certain, you know, age categories, different things. You just got to go out there and just do it, right? And just find the right target market. Do you have a tip for anyone to be successful on TikTok? You said that's where your followers and your engagement is than Insta.
Yeah, I mean, find something that you really love, whether it's dancing or talking about something or comedy, whatever it is, just find what you love to do and just be consistent with it. Try to post 3 to 4 times a week. Using the trending sounds helps and all that. But honestly, if you're just authentic and genuine about what you love to do, people are going to find you in the algorithm because they're going to be searching for stuff like that. So any horror fans that find me are horror fans and they want to hear, you know, what I have to say about my favorite horror movies or the worst horror movies, or, you know, just stay authentic and just talk about what you love to do. And I think that's when you're going to find the most success.
I interview a lot of indie horror films all the time. I have a really good connect on that end, and it's very, very interesting. And I keep telling certain people, like I auditioned one time to be like some legitimate 6'10". I said, can I go and kill somebody or something? So, well, you have to audition for it. So I'm hoping at one point I'll be in a horror movie. So I'm just trying to be this. Last year at this time, I was really considering to do some movies. That was the goal. And I even auditioned for something. And then Clubhouse happened. And then I just rode the wave of Clubhouse. Now I don't want to ride that wave anymore. I'll be there sometimes, but really it's just too much of my time. But I was there when it was really hot, except if I would have started in Clubhouse in October of last year, I would be set, because it's amazing the people that were first there, first to a party, best opportunity. So what's the next big thing? The metaverse. I got to start studying up on it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Ready for it? Are you ready for it? See, these are the things that you talk about, because this is what actors have to be up to date on now. It's crazy. Yeah. But I really enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate you coming by, and you really educated me in the fact of costs and all these different things with filmmaking, and people just got to check out your stuff and you're amazing. So thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me. If you have any other questions, email me.
I appreciate it. All right. You're watching and listening to The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.